For the next 3 weeks, I want to take us through the sounds, the sights, and the smells of Christmas. Last Sunday, we began Advent. We focused on Jesus, how he is the light of the world, the one who brings us out of darkness, restoring the relationship with God that was lost. And we looked at receiving his light and then reflecting his light. Well, today, as Carolyn mentioned, I want to consider the sounds of Christmas. And what typically comes to mind when we think of sounds is all the beautiful music. Last night was such a blessing to have Carolyn and Spencer here, and such a treat then to have them with us this morning. I too, like Dane said, I love singing the Christmas carols. And one song that is often sung on Christmas Eve is Silent Night. It's a beautiful song. The night that Jesus was born was a holy night. But I doubt that it was a silent night. Carolyn even sang a song about that last night. Rather than a silent night, it must have been a hectic night. As we read in Luke 2, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken. Well, there was no internet, no postal service. You know, they had to go in person to register. And we were told that there were so many people that had come to Bethlehem in order to register for the census that we're told that there was no room. Everywhere was full. The city would not have been silent. Imagine some of the sounds. You know, just the hustle and the bustle of people. The animals bleating. People tired, stressed, annoyed. It sounds a little bit familiar to today. Just kind of change the sound of the animals for motor vehicles. So what are we hearing this Advent? A prominent sound of Christmas over the years has been church bells. And a year ago, my daughter Abigail and I, we went to visit my other daughter, Emily, in Liverpool. And one day we went to the Liverpool Cathedral. It contains the heaviest and highest ringing peal of bells in the world. We took an elevator up the tower. It's a newer cathedral, so they had an elevator. That was nice. Then climbed several flights of stone stairs to see these bells. Now, here is a description that was posted on the wall. It says, "Look down into the cavernous chamber of the lower tower as you climb the stairs and see the highest and heaviest ringing peal of church bells in the world. Great George, which is the center bell, only rung at Christmas and Easter and occasions of national importance, weighs in at approximately 14 and a half tons, with the remainder of the peal collectively weighing approximately 16 and a half tons between them." Now, here is a picture that Abigail took of the bells. Just amazing. And these bells are actually all named. Great George is in the middle. And here's a schematic of the bells with their names, the keys, and the weight of each of them. And that's the end of the pictures. Thanks for the lights. Throughout history, church bells have been rung, proclaiming a message. They have been used because they produce a sound that is enormously loud, but it's also very aesthetically pleasing. And they can be heard for several miles. Apparently, these bells in Liverpool can be heard like up to 12 miles away. Bells were capable of transcending the noise of a community and getting people's attention. They dominated the soundscape of a community when they pealed. People had, you know, kind of little choice but to listen. Bells had an important place at the center of a town's life. Bells tolled and pealed in parishes to communicate. The function of a tolling bell was for such things as to call people to worship, to call them to a celebration like a wedding, to call the community to pray for someone, calling a remembrance of someone upon their death, When Queen Elizabeth died, the bells were tolled 96 times, once for each year of her life. Jehu Zinga writes, "One sound rose ceaselessly above the noise of busy life and lifted all things unto a sphere of order and serenity, the sound of bells. The bells were in daily life like good spirits, which by their familiar voices now called upon the citizens to mourn, and now to rejoice, now warned them of danger, now exhorted them to piety. They were known by their names, Big Jacqueline or Bell Roland. Everyone knew the difference in meaning of the various ways of ringing. However continuous the ringing of the bells, people would seem not to have been blunted to the effect of their sound." It was out of this orientation that John Donne wrote in a poem, "For whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." And Donne wrote this as he reflected on a time that he had a spurious bout with spotted fever. And he was remembering, you know, himself being very ill on his bed in his home and hearing the tolling of the funeral bell in the neighboring church, thinking that he himself was near death. Hemingway picked up on these words and used them for the title of his novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. No matter where you were, you could hear the bells and know what was being proclaimed. You could be ill in bed and know that people were being called to pray for you. You knew that when you passed away, you would be remembered. For centuries, church bells have summoned, celebrated, reminded, and commemorated. According to Bishop Michael Pfizer, bells were meant to symbolize God's voice, calling the people to prayer, calling the people to church services, calling the people to Christ. A Christmas carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, was written by Longfellow in 1863. It was during the Civil War. And everyone had hoped that, you know, by then the conflict, well, that would be over. But that didn't happen. And on that Christmas morning, Longfellow heard the pealing of the bells, and he penned these words. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." One of the verses that he wrote then says, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But then Longfellow ends up writing, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." The bells communicated the message of God, bringing peace to earth. But even amidst the turmoil of war, the good news of the Christmas message rang forth. On a hillside, the night that Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed good news. We read, "There were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" In reference to this passage, we sang the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Apparently, this song was originally titled, "Hark How All the Welkin Rings." That's a bit of a head scratcher. Did you know that at all? Yeah. Well, welkin, yeah, that was a word that went out of use. So in the 1700s, George Whitefield changed it to what we have now. Welkin means the heavens or angels. And to say welkin rings essentially meant angels making a loud noise. Not quite as catchy, is it? But interesting to ponder. Making a loud noise. A bold proclamation, like a large bell being rung. The angel's message to the shepherds was that a Savior, Christ the Lord, was born. This was good news of great joy. The good news of salvation, which was to be proclaimed to all people. This is the good news that we reflect upon at Christmas. This was no small incident in time. It was life-altering. God come to earth to save us. Good news that is to be proclaimed loudly for all to hear. The message paraphrases this announcement as, "The angel said, 'Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that's meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is the one to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger.' At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." Throughout the Christmas story, the angelic message is, don't be afraid. In Matthew, an angel tells Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. In Luke, the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she's having a baby and says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. The fear was not just in seeing an angel, which is probably typically what we tend to think of. Yeah, it probably would be quite overwhelming to see an angel, but that was not what was being addressed by those words, fear not. Fear not was in regards to what they were being called to do. Joseph was to marry his fiancée, who he has found out is pregnant. Mary was to carry and give birth to God's son. And here the shepherds are told to go leave their flocks and head over to Bethlehem. They all would have faced challenges. For Mary, the responsibility of carrying this child, that would have been overwhelming. And she would have been unjustly criticized, scorned. Joseph would have faced rejection by the community, looked upon with judgment. The shepherds, well, they probably would have faced some logistical issues. You know, what do you do with all these sheep? When Mary heard the words from the angel that she would give birth to the Messiah, she could have said, that's impossible. There's no way this can happen. I'm sorry, no. Joseph could have gone ahead with his plans, and he could have divorced Mary quietly. The shepherds could have said, yeah, that was just an illusion. We can't leave the sheep and go check out some baby. But thankfully, none of those people responded that way. But they responded in trust. They didn't respond out of fear. They listened and they followed the message they heard. The Christmas season really comes and goes so fast. You know, it seems to come upon us so suddenly. Well, and then before we know it, it's over. So how do we make the most of this Advent season? I mentioned last week about taking a moment each day to read some kind of Advent devotional and focus on Christ. Heard last night that Carolyn has on her website a place where you could go, this little Advent calendar, and you can hear a song and a devotional. I got to try that. That sounds wonderful. Well, this week, what I would like you to ponder is the question, what is he saying to you? What sounds do you hear? What bells are you listening to? The ones that talk about jingle bells, riding in a one-horse open sleigh, Santa, Are you listening to lies of the enemy? Evil wants to stop the kingdom of God and our participation in it, influencing us to turn us towards despair, distorting the truth, reducing us to fear. Is this what you're listening to? Or are you listening to a call to worship, to celebrate the good news of great joy that Christ has come? Trusting in him, receiving his peace, and following where he wants to lead you. Christmas can be a very difficult time for some. The challenges of life, they can just seem more pronounced. Why? Well, maybe it's because we're listening to the wrong message. Listening to the message peeling forth that is, you know, secularized to entertainment and good cheer. One that really pulls us away from the truth. But that's not the proclamation we are to hear. You know, think about that song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say." What are we listening to? This Christmas, what sounds do you hear? The empty bell ringing of hustle and bustle, of empty expectations? Or do you hear the ringing out of the angels, announcing that Jesus has come, bringing peace? The message announced by the angels was not just for the shepherds. It was for all people, for you, for me. Jesus offers us life. And when we come into a relationship with him, as we open ourselves up to his spirit, he works in our lives and he brings love, faithfulness, righteousness, peace. When the shepherds heard the good news, they didn't just sit there and say, "Well, that was interesting." They got up. They had to travel to Bethlehem. They took a step of commitment. So what is God saying to you this Christmas? Is there a message being rung that you need to hear and heed? Is he calling you to do something where you need to hear those words? Don't be afraid. Maybe it's taking the step to find him, to welcome him into your life, that you've been holding off making that commitment out of fear. Maybe it's a new direction that you need to take in your life. Maybe a conversation you need to have with someone, something that you need to let go of, or something maybe you need to do. It's easy to listen to the fear, because it can be hard to step into these things. But peace and joy come as we follow where God leads. One of Carolyn's songs that I have really appreciated over the years is called "Is Bethlehem Too Far Away?" And I've asked if she would follow this message with this song. It begins, "If we close our eyes, can we see the star? Can we find our path in its light? And if we are still, tell me, can we hear the song of the angels tonight? Can we find our way to the baby king? Can we worship him now in the hay? And can we believe he can change everything? Or is Bethlehem too far away? Can we hear? Can we find our way? Getting up and following his call, not giving into fear, thinking, oh, too far away." For each of these three Advent sermons, I have an ornament for you. It's in the entryway. You can get it as you leave. So this is something that I hope you will hang up and then reflect upon as we walk through this Advent season. For today, it's a bell. And my hope is it will serve as a reminder of a ringing out of a message of the angels and a call to listen to what God is saying to you this Christmas. I pray this Christmas that you will listen to the sound of the proclamation of Christ's birth, that you will hear the sound of the angels' voices. There has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And that you will listen to what God is saying to you right now. May we take the time to hear him above all the noise that's around us, above all the hustle and bustle and the focus of the world, and step out and heed his words. For we do not need to be afraid.